that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The greatest decision I've ever made in my life was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. If you're saved this morning, can you say amen right there?
Amen.
And if you're not saved this morning, we pray that this would be the day, this would be the hour that you'd come to know the Lord as your Savior. You could have that opportunity today, and we'll speak about that a little later in the service. But let's go to him this morning in a word of prayer. And you'll notice Brother Brian is not here today. And he's not here with us this morning, so please be much in prayer. I'll be bringing the morning message, and I believe Brother Alan Young has the evening service. And I'll talk a little bit about that again here in a few moments. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Brother CJ, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. If you will stand with me, and let's see if we can find us a song this morning that goes right along with that. Page number 177. Page 177. Let's everyone stand and sing. Are you washed in the blood? Everyone sing now.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood?
On the last,
lay aside the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed?
Sing that chorus again.
Great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't see anyone visiting with us. If I have missed that and you're visiting, we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. And we also reach out to all those that are out there watching, listening on Facebook. And that's a great avenue. Some folks are unable to be here. And we have some shut-ins, and they watch, and they always comment back to me. And I'm very thankful for that. And so if you're watching from home on Facebook, and we pray the Lord would bless you in a very special way as well today. Please, of course, continue to pray for the Lauder family and the passing of our dear brother. And he is, again, at home with the Lord. And the service went wonderful last week, and we thank the Lord for that. And I'm thankful for everyone that had a part in that. And I just want to say what a tremendous service that it was. And I believe it honored the Lord, and it was a great tribute and a celebration of life for Dion. And the Lord always has a way of touching us and giving us just what we need, and we're thankful for that. But do continue to pray for the family and the friends, the children's home as well. And that was their dad, and so they miss him greatly. And so please remember them in prayer. I have a couple of unspoken prayer requests this morning that I'd like please remember, and please remember as I try my best in a few moments to bring the message today. And again, I thank you for being here, and I pray the Lord would bless you today for being in the house of the Lord. Let me just mention that this evening service, I spoke with Brother Ceylon a few moments ago, and I have a very busy day today. I have a wedding this afternoon at 4 o'clock, so I think it's going to be really pushing me to be able to get back in time for a service at 5. So what we want to do this evening,
just for this evening is have the service downstairs. Now, ladies, don't feel like you need to bring food. We'll make a pot of coffee down there, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. Brother Allen will come and bring us a great devotion, I'm sure, and just love on one another. But be here this evening at 5 o'clock, but let's meet downstairs. Again, don't worry about bringing food or anything like that, unless you just feel led to. I suppose nobody's going to turn it away, but don't feel like that's something that you have to be responsible for this evening. And we'll have service downstairs, 5 o'clock this evening, and I thank you for that this morning. All right, let's go again to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service and just ask Him to touch us in a special way today. Brother Johnny, would you take us, Lord? There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no dying over there. Hallelujah. Amen. That ought to make us all be up on our feet shouting all at the same time. Amen. If we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, we're going to Beulah Land. Well, I got it. I don't know. Maybe you'll get it after a while. But you pray for us as we sing Beulah Land.
Tree.
I'll tell you what I would like for us to do today. Of course, you know that Tuesday is Veterans Day. And we want to honor our veterans this morning. If you served in any capacity of the military at all, what I would like for you to do is remain seated while everyone else would stand and praise the Lord and give you a hand clap this morning to let you know how much we appreciate what you did. Church, would you stand? Veterans, remain seated. Thank you for your service. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I've got to run out. Somewhere is my Bible. So we have a short video, though, that we want to share with you this morning. Brother Randy, if you could clip that. Oh, someone has found it.
Freedom is never free. It's a gift paid for with sacrifice and service. On Veterans Day, we stop to honor those who've worn the uniform, those who've stood watch in the dark and carried the cost of liberty on their shoulders. They aren't just names in history books and photos in frames. They're fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, friends and neighbors. So today, we honor the men and women who have served our country. To every veteran in our church family and across this nation, we want you to know, we thank God for you.
Church, would you stand with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Again, it is great to see you and have you in the house of the Lord this morning. What an honor it is to be able to be here. What an honor it is to be able to open his book and to share something that you feel God has given you to speak about today. I never take that lightly. And I always seem to stand, Larry, each time there's a sense of somewhat fear that I would say or do something that God would be displeased with. So I approach this time every time with such an honor, yet with such carefulness that that I speak with clarity and that I honor God, because I believe that it is the purpose that God has given me, and what an honor this morning. And I want to ask you this morning one question. What is your purpose? That would be the title of our message this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, and I'm going to use verses 7 through 12 as our text this morning, but I'm going to start, you don't have to turn there, it's on the same page. I'm going to start with verse number 1, and then we'll go to verse number 7 and read through verse 12. As we look at the purpose that Paul had, even in prison, I ask you again this morning, what is your purpose? In Ephesians chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Jump with me now down to verse number 7. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." What is your purpose? It is rare to find someone who is living in that thing that you were created to do. That thing that brings you energy when you do it. That thing that brings you satisfaction down in your soul when you are operating in the purpose that God has called you for. That thing that you don't even realize it's work when you do it, because you are doing the things that you were created to do. Because God has given you and me an inventory of talents and gifts. And when you tap into them and use them in your purpose, whether you think it's a big thing or whether you think it's just a small thing, to settle in it is to be comfortable in your own skin. My dad had a lot of sayings, but I remember him always saying this. And I thought back then, I thought as a kid, I thought, what in the world is he talking about? He would say, "Hey, I want to be smack dab in the middle of where God wants me to be." Smack dab. Now, young people back there are thinking, what in the world is a smack dab? I really don't know how to explain it to you. But I figured out pretty quick that when Daddy used the word smack dab, that means he wanted to be right in the center of where he was supposed to be, in the center of your purpose. When you are in your purpose, the check that you receive maybe for what you do is simply a small byproduct of your blessing from God. It really doesn't matter if you're getting paid for it or not. If you have accepted what God has called you to do and you are serving in your purpose. Now, Paul calls it the purpose of the mystery. If you go back and you search the scriptures this morning, we seem to only acknowledge, though, the purpose of God in the big things. God hasn't really called all of us to do what we would call the big things. But sometimes the purpose of God is also demonstrated in the small things. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. I want to share with you just a short little snippet of a story that I read and I heard this week. There was a great evangelist, and he traveled all over the place, and he was preaching all the time. I mean, he was wearing it out. And one of his precious deacons in the church went to him when he was back in their home church on Sunday morning and said, "Pastor, I believe that what I want to do is I want to quit my job, and I want to come and I want to drive you around to all of your meetings that you go to try and help you out." Now the evangelist kind of stepped back and he said, "Oh, okay." And he went on about his business, didn't much pay much attention to it at all. Later on, the gentleman went up to him. He said, "Pastor, did you not hear this morning what I told you?" And he said, "I did hear it." He said, he's thinking in his head, he's thinking, "I don't know if I want somebody with me all the time or not." And he said, in his mind, he was thinking also, "And I sure wouldn't want to take the responsibility." And he told the man, he said, "Look, I can't allow you to do that, and you quit your job, and then your family come after me because you don't have any income." He said, "Because I walk by faith." He said, "Sometimes churches will call me and they'll take care of me pretty good. Sometimes churches will call me and they don't take care of me so well. But I'm walking by faith. It is God's purpose in my life." The man, his deacon, stood up and he said, "Do you not think God's called me to this purpose?" And he slammed the door and he walked out. You see, it's not always the big, great things. But God calls people sometimes through little things to serve in a purpose. As it went on, the gentleman did go, and he took the evangelist to all of the meetings, and they were great friends, and it was a great blessing. Not everyone, though, is called the pastor. Sometimes the purpose of God is maybe just to raise a child. Now there is your one. It's just to raise it. Now I know I got kids here this morning. I got to be very careful. But it's just to raise a child that no one else could raise but you. I wish I had gotten a little bit ahead of the game and put a little video clipping of someone on the screen for you this morning. We, years ago, had a family in our church named Joe and Patty Mannion. Most of y'all have been here for a while will remember them. If not, you see them sometimes on Facebook. And they had this little fella, and his name was Joey. Joey had some very, very serious health issues. I never heard him utter a word. He was confined to a wheelchair. His limbs were crippled. He was not able to eat as you and I. He had a feeding tube from the time he was born until now. Joey Mannion is now, I think, in his 20s. If you can believe that. Somebody could probably tell me exactly if you followed them. But I am here to tell you this morning that God looked down into the lives of Joe and Patty Mannion, and they presented them with one of the greatest gifts that they will have when they receive little Joey Mannion into their life. And we could all tell stories. I remember when little Joey, I mean, he was just a little bitty tyke. And Terry was not working at the time. Patty was trying to work. Joe, of course, was working. And she called Terry and said, "Hey, I got to be really careful about somebody being able to watch little Joey, but would you be willing to watch him while I work during the day? And she said, well, absolutely. Bring that little fella over. And I'll never forget it. We that first day, we were all in there in the living room, and we set him on the end of the couch so he'd be up next to, because he has no balance. And she put him right up there next to the edge of the couch and put a pillow up there next to him. And before you knew it, we was just all sitting over there chatting, just having a great time. Patty was fixing to leave to go to work. And you look over, and Joey goes, whoop. And he was over and on his side, and he was like, and he was just having the best time. I'm telling you that sometimes purpose is not being the president. Sometimes your purpose is being a parent. Hello? And I'm talking about a parent of one of the greatest little guys that I have ever had an opportunity to meet in my life. And we could go on and on and tell the stories of little Joey Manion. But what a blessing. They had to have wisdom to raise little Joey. They've had to have some grace to raise little Joey. But most of all, they have had such a love to raise that child that only God can give. So they serve the Lord in their purpose in raising this child. You might be a mother here this morning. There's a lot of ladies who can give birth. Most all ladies are able to give birth, but not all ladies are called to be a mother. It takes a special gift to mother. I had, and I'm sure many of you would say the same thing, I had the dearest mother in the world. She loved me unconditionally. She would have to, because I was quite the rounder when I was a kid. But there was something about the love of a mother. Every woman can have a child, but not every woman can be a mother. Can you imagine thinking about mothers and children? You remember the little lad who brought all that he had? I tell of that a lot. I love that story, that biblical story that we go back and we read. What if the little lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes had decided to play hooky that day and go hide out somewhere and eat his lunch? You know, anybody in this room ever played hooky? Y'all telling one. You just ain't telling it. What if he had decided that morning to play hooky and didn't show up, Larry, with his 5 loaves and 2 fish? But he was there and he served in his purpose. He was there fulfilling the purpose, and some 15,000 people were fed from a little lad's lunch. I'm talking about just a little greasy sandwich in a bag. Not only were 15,000 fed, but there was how many baskets full left over? How many disciples? Well, would you just think of that? That was not a coincidence, was it? 12 baskets full left over from just a greasy little sandwich in a bag. Or, how about David? I'm talking about just a... He said he was just a kid of a ruddy countenance. And he's out taking care of the sheep. But he gets a call for something just a little more important, because he now needs to serve his purpose. And he is called to take lunch to his brethren. So he enters into another dimension of purpose, because he is faithful in the small things. Faithful in the small things. And God is going to make him ruler because of his faithfulness over many things. Oh, we could go on and talk about that story. I'm talking about they all, can't you picture it all? He goes down there to bring them a little bit of lunch, and they all standing, old giants down there in the valley, and they all standing back like, I don't think this ain't my purpose. And David goes walking down in the valley with a slingshot and 5 slick stones. And he was made fun of, ridiculed. Y'all remember the story. But he served his purpose. And one of those stones took flight. And before you know it, the giant is no more. He was just serving his purpose. And he was really, truly started out in just a small thing. But hey, when you are functioning in your purpose, you are at your best. You are at your best. And you are serving the Lord and strengthening the kingdom. I've had a lot of people tell me, "Brother Allen, I can't stand up in front of people like you can. It would make me a nervous wreck. I'd pass out right there." I get it. I understand it. Still on the inside of me, it's like I told you in the very beginning, I feel a little jitters when I think I'm going to stand before people. I still feel, I know it probably don't seem like it because it don't seem like I ever know how to shut up. But I get a little nervous. And you know, this morning Terry's like, "You want me to fix you something to eat?" No. Oh, I'm a nervous wreck. Are you kidding me? I don't need anything like that. I'm still a little nervous. And people will say, "Brother Allen, I couldn't do that. I'd pass out. I can't sing in front of people." Well, I don't do a very good job of it, but it's what I believe the Lord's gifted me to do. If I can't sing, at least I can swing. I can swing my arms and let other people sing. And it is a joy and it is a blessing. And I believe that that is our strength when we are serving in the purpose that God has called us for. Now, a lot of y'all can sing. We were talking about this in choir practice this morning. And we really need you to join us back up here and sing. Because you can, and we need you. Not everybody can. And if you can't, you're in a good place. You just stay right down there where you at. And, you know, a lot of people think they can, but and that's okay, too. Just come up. That's why he said, just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And we're not all called to preach. We're not all called to teach. We're not all called to sing. But if you have a gift, you need to exercise it because that is your purpose. Now, I can't work on a car. There was a time when I could, but they changed all that. Now, when you open up a hood and all you see is plastic covering everything, you wouldn't know if you even had a carburetor, much less how to fix it or change it. Things have really changed when it comes to working on a car. So the best thing for me to do is not to touch it. Because I can sure make a mess of it. But I got to thinking that there's been a lot of times down through the years that I pick up the phone and I'd call Brother Dion. And I'd say, "Brother Dion, I got a problem." He's like, "What is it, Alan?" I love to hear him talk. I can't do it like CJ. I love to hear him talk. "What is it, Alan?" I said, "I don't know what's wrong with it, but listen." You know, and I'd start it up and it'd be like, "Boom, boom, 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 boom." He's like, "Oh, you do have a problem." I said, "That's why I called you, brother." He said, can you get it to the church?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Bring it Sunday, and let me take a look at it." And sure enough, he'd come in on Sunday, and he'd go out there. He'd raise up the hood. He'd tinker a little bit, and that thing would be like, just smooth as silk. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Or if it wasn't so, he'd say, "Bring it by the house. I'll take care of it." And you know somebody's operating in their purpose when they're done and your car's fixed and you say, "Brother Dion, we haven't discussed this, but I need to know what I owe you." And he just stand there, curly red hair, and look at you like you had two heads. And he'd say, "Get in your car and leave." I'd say, "No, I'm at least going to pay you for the part. Give me $20, Dion." But that was him. He was operating, Brother Don, in his purpose. And when you try to take somebody out of their purpose, you break their spirit. So I don't work on cars. There's another thing that I don't do, and that is work on houses. If anything ever breaks at home, or Terry decides she wants something built, you think she calls me? Not for a minute. She gets on the phone and she calls Brother David Henderson and says, "Brother David, I've got an idea. There's something that I'd like to have, am I right? Something I'd like to have built. Would you just come over here and take a look at it? It might be a few days or weeks. You got a lot going on." But he'd show up and she'd say, "This is what I want." And he'd say, "No problem. This is what we need to do to get it done." And at the end of it all, he'd say, "Hey, I love you. And I love God. And he has blessed me." I'd pay him, but I'd be thinking, this seems like pennies compared to what I should be paying you, David. Oh, but when you're serving in your purpose. Now, one more thing I don't do, and that's work on electrical stuff at the house. Larry says, "Don't touch it, brother. You're going to burn the house down." And Terry's like, "Hey, Larry." Calls him Lair. "Hey, Lair." "Hey, Terry." And I'm just sitting over there like, "No, how about me?" And Larry will say, "What's wrong?" "Well, we've got an electrical issue in the house, and you know I ain't going to let him touch it. Just whenever you can get by." And he'll call about 8 o'clock at night, a couple of days later, and he'll say, "Y'all awake?" "I'm awake now." "Yeah, we're awake, Larry." He said, "I'll be by there in 30 minutes. I've already got the parts with me, and here you'll come." And with such, I don't say it just because he's in the building this morning, but with such purpose and with such love. And he comes in thanking me and thanking God for the opportunity. He gets it all done. He gets ready to walk out. And I'm like, whoa, we got to take care of. You know what? Honestly, there's been a lot of times. He said, "When can you make me some pies? I had an electrical issue a couple of weeks. Larry, the pies are in the car, bro." Not kidding. There's something about purpose. And there's something about doing something because God has gifted you. Remember me telling you about the inventory? Several years ago, Terry decided she wanted a swimming pool. Let me just tell you, a swimming pool is a money pit. But I've got one at the house if you want it. But there's been a lot of times, and he probably wouldn't want me even say anything about it this morning. But God sent Chuck and Cece by here, and what a blessing they have been to our church family. Amen. And all they want to do is just serve God. And they have such a giving spirit. There's been a lot of times Chuck say, "Hey, you need something for that pool? Come on by the house, man." I'm like, "Okay. I'd be glad to pay you for it." You know what he says? "You just keep on doing what you do and let me do what I do." He's probably looking at me real funny, but I love you, man. And I appreciate when people are serving in their purpose. Not all of us can stand before a crowd of people. Not all of us can sing. Not all of us can preach. Not all of us can teach. But everyone in this building has a purpose. And I ask you, what is your purpose? Let me tell you what I love about the people that I just mentioned. I could go on and on. Cassie, she was there when our family was in need. Again, I wouldn't want to leave anyone out. I could go on and on. Everybody in this building has used their purpose and gift to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? A couple weeks ago, we were trying to make arrangements for the funeral and everything, and Amanda had been called on to sing Beulah Land that she sung this morning, and Brother Randy said, "You know, I'll be glad to try and help you out any way you need to, if you want to do a track or if you want me to play it or whatever you want to do." And she said, I would really feel more comfortable if you could play it for me." Well, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but Randy stretched thin like a rubber band. And he's wearing more hats than most of us have ever seen. He comes in. He never says a word. He just goes to where the Lord has given him to serve. And he serves on the piano. You need something done from the sound room. He was given that video this morning. He said, I got it. Send it to me. I got you. Enjoy that video this morning? It's because somebody's serving their purpose. You know what I could do? Nothing. I just sit up here and say, here it is. But on that day of the funeral, poor Randy was stretched to the point to where I was there, Amanda was there, and she looks at me and she said, Dad, can you play that for me this morning? I'm like, what? I know. I might could, but it's not going to go well. I need some practice. But I'm here for you. By the time it was over, again, we're waiting on Brother Randy, and he's over there with one of the kids at a game. And, you know, we're waiting, and Randy hadn't got there yet. It's about 5 minutes till time for the service. And she's like, hey, Dad, what are we going to do now? I said, I don't know. You go in there. Whew. She was nervous, and I was getting nervous. I said, you just go in there and sit down, and let's just wait and see what the Lord does. And we heard. It was to the point where I'd already sat down over on the piano, and I'm thinking, I can play it for you. We're going to play one note, and we're going to sing it a cappella. We got it figured out. I can play one note, and we'll sing it a cappella. I had sat down on the piano, and I heard this door creak right behind me, and Randy slid in, sat down. Hallelujah. Serving in his purpose. There's something about serving God with a purpose. You may be serving your purpose, but it doesn't mean it will be easy. Purpose can also be painful. You're going to have problems. Purpose and problems go hand in hand. Because I'm here to tell you this morning that the very demons of hell hate it when you're serving in your purpose. The enemy doesn't want you to serve God in your purpose. And he says, hey, why don't you just let somebody else do it? While you're getting old and you're getting tired, well, let some of them young whippersnappers take care of the church service from now on. Yeah. Let somebody else do it. You've done enough. You've been serving all these years. Why don't you just let somebody else do it, Jeff? But there's something about serving in your purpose. Tomorrow I go to turn in my paperwork for retirement. That's what I'm talking about. To God be the glory. I think I've made it. And I'm going to be retired in a couple of weeks. And I'll get me a little part-time gig somewhere. And I'm going to go sit on the porch and kick my shoes off and drink coffee. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. But when it comes to the work of God, I'm going to serve Him in my purpose till He calls me home. Because there's no quitting, no retiring. There is a sense of retiring, I get it. But we still serve our purpose. It might not be in the same place and in the same way. I think of Brother Snyder when I say that, and he served his purpose, and he's still serving his purpose in a different avenue, in a different way. But we can't quit on God. Amen? We are serving in our purpose. Paul, here we find him in a prison, still serving in his purpose. He's bloody, he's beaten, he's bruised. He's not laying on some comfy bed down there. He's laying on a slab. Now, he's not writing his first letter here saying, God, get me out of prison. But he's saying, God, put me in my purpose. Now, I admit to you this morning that if I had been beaten and was bloody and found myself in a prison, my first letter wouldn't be to Ephesus. My first letter would be to my attorney. My second letter would be, Mama, come and get me out of this mess. See if you can bond me out. Paul is writing from a prison, but it doesn't keep him from writing in purpose. Are you living your life on purpose? Are you living life exercising your inventory and your gifts that God has given you? Do you know what your purpose is? There's a lot of folks that would come to me this morning and say, Brother Allen, all these years I've wondered, what is my purpose? I'm going to give you a little clue. We don't have time to go through the whole series and the whole study, but I want to give you a clue. Whatever you enjoy doing, that just might be at least a part of your gift. Example, if you hate kids, we don't need you in the nursery. We don't even need you teaching children if you just can't stand them. But if God has gifted you and you love being around kids, we've got a place for you. Amen? It may be this morning that your gift is fixing a little lunch and taking it over to somebody that's not able to get out. They're shut in. Go see BJ. Fix up a little lunch and go over there. You may have just hit on your gift. You may have the gift of helps / the gift of hospitality. And you can help somebody in that way. We've got a room full of people here this morning that have some great gifts. But there's someone here, I'm sure, this morning that would say, you know what? I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my gift is. The first thing you have to know is, have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? If you're going to serve Him, you got to know Him. Amen? Are you saved? And then I would say to you, get involved and serve in your purpose. You are never happier. You are never more fulfilled than when you are in your purpose, serving the Lord. I've said this many times. Lord, please, don't let me live and die and not make a difference in this life that I live and in someone else's life along the way. I don't want to stand before Him and Him say, where have you been? What have you been doing? Do I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Absolutely I do. And as Brother Snyder would say, or at least, son, good try. But I don't want to live and die and not make a difference and not serve in God's purpose. There's a couple of verses of Scripture that mean a great deal to me. One of those is in Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse number 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12 says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God has an expected end for every one of us in this building this morning. He's the Alpha and Omega. He knows the beginning and He knows our end. There was a writer by the name of Rick Warren who wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And in it said, what on earth am I here for? You just heard that in Jeremiah 29:11. Because God has an expected end for us. An expected end. A purpose for us. There's another verse of Scripture that means a great deal to me. He says, for all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to, finish it out, His purpose. All things work together for good to those that love Him and that are the called according to His purpose. We all have problems. We all have prisons. We all are confined from time to time. Call it what you want. But God. But God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. If you were to come to me this morning and say, "Brother Allen, I don't know what my purpose is. Can you tell me?" I wouldn't want to be rude, but I would say it like this. Don't ask me. You say, "Well, that's rude." Don't ask your family. Don't ask your friends. Don't ask your neighbors. Don't even ask the other church members. If you don't know what your purpose is, I got one for you. Ask God. He's the one who gives you purpose. He's the one who gives you inventory to serve in. What is your purpose? He's the only one who knows. This morning, here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to stand. Brother Randy, if you'll come, we're just going to go through and play a little bit, maybe have a verse of a song. Everyone stand with me this morning. And here's what I want to ask you. I want you to think for a minute. If I were to ask you personally, what is your purpose? What has God gifted you to do? Could you tell me? Or would you say, "Brother Allen, I'm just not sure"? First of all, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior this morning, I want to invite you to come. Grab somebody by the hand and let them come and show you from the Word of God how you today could be gloriously saved and your name written in glory. But if you are saved this morning and you're saying, "Brother, I don't know exactly what my purpose is," I want to tell you to do this. Come down and just ask God. I'll be happy to pray with you, but I don't know. We could sit down now. We could figure it out after a while by watching and asking you some of the things that you enjoy doing, like we talked about a few minutes ago. But maybe you just need to come this morning and ask God, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we come before you this morning thanking you, first of all, for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you do choose to use us. Amanda may have said it best in Sunday school this morning when she said, if we didn't have a purpose, when we got saved, the Lord would just take us on home. But, Lord, you've left us here for a reason. To be a blessing to others around us. To be a witness. To raise our children. To be a blessing to those in our church family. Maybe just to meet somebody on the street and you tell us that maybe we just need to speak to that person on your behalf, Lord, and tell them about you. But Lord, this morning, if there's someone here today that's never been saved, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out of the aisle and come down and kneel in this altar and let one of us tell them how they too can be born into the family of God. Lord, for those that may be struggling, trying to figure out what is my purpose, what do I need to do, what are you calling me to do, God? Lord, would you allow them even right now just to step out and come down and just say, "Lord, here I am before you. I just bring myself to you and I give you my all. Lord, would you give me your purpose and help me, Lord, fulfill the purpose in my life." Lord, for everyone that comes, for everyone that prays where they're seated, Lord, I pray this morning that you'll just touch us, draw us to you, help us to be a church that you'd be pleased with. Lord, because we have found our purpose and we want to serve you. We love you and thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. One verse this morning. Amen. Come on.
And souls scarred by sin, but he did not despair. He's got
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad he didn't throw me away, aren't you? Molds us and makes us into a vessel fit for his use. Great choice of a song this morning, Brother Randy. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord. Just one more second while we pray. Thank you for your attention this morning and for your prayers. I appreciate that more than you know. And please be here again this evening at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. Don't worry about food. We'll have a pot of coffee down there and have a good devotion and a time of fellowship. And so please just be here this evening if you can at 5. Any other announcements or anything that I'm missing? Trail, all hearts and minds clear? Amen. Amen. Thank you for... I'm sorry? Shirley and James Townsend. Okay. All right. Shirley and James Townsend, Emily McCricker. We'll close service in prayer for them. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can call on your name. Lord, we are thankful that you are the God that heals. Lord, we've seen you do it before in times past. Lord, you choose different avenues of healing, but we come before you on behalf of these that have been mentioned this morning, asking you, Lord, that you would have your precious hand upon them. Lord, pray that you would touch them and strengthen them. They have fought a battle with their health, but Lord, I pray that you would be with them in a special way today. Lord, I pray that you would help them to know that the church has lifted them up in prayer this morning. Visit with them, Lord, and it's only you can do. Touch them, heal them, Lord, would be our prayer. Be with us now as we depart and go our separate ways. Bring us back this evening. Be with Brother Alan Young as he brings our devotion downstairs. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.